Good morning and welcome again, gathering together in our virtual church. And again, our hearts are, joyfully longing, desiring to be together, and hopefully that comes soon. But I'm grateful that we can come and be a part together as God speaks to us again in His Word and encourages us, and we can just be uplifted that even though we are in our homes listening, we have brothers and sisters there praying for us and encouraging us along the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again another week. Another week, Father, of maybe having the sense of a little more loneliness, a little more frustration. Father, but again, you remind us that even though we are far apart, Lord, we are connected through you. We thank you that your Spirit is with us where we are. And may, Father, the Spirit of unity be in us. As we've come this morning to hear from your word, may your Spirit, Holy Spirit, open up our hearts and our minds as we hear from your word this morning. May my words be an encouragement. May they be your words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you've heard this statement: where there's life, there's hope. Now, like most sayings, it has an element of truth, but no guarantee of certainty. And right now, in the midst of our unique circumstances and beyond the here and now, people are desiring and looking for hope. Because it just doesn't seem to be, there just doesn't seem to be any. But I want to tell you that there is. And that's a small phrase that I want you to hold on to this morning. Those two words, there is. I want you to know that there is hope in knowing and being able to believe. Knowing and be able to believe in what, you might be asking. Well, we're going to spend some time walking through our next sermon series that shares about hope. That we are given and can have hope because there is a living God. There is hope. The hope described in Scripture is not the kind where we wistfully imagine something is true. That kind of hope leaves room for something not to be true. Rather, the hope used in Scripture is based off the definition of trust with confidence. The most common uses today of hope is to cherish and desire with anticipation, to want something to happen or be true. The dictionary defines hope as a desire with expectation of obtainment, to expect with confidence, trust. Hope is both a verb and a noun, something we do and something we have within our hearts. Hope is one of the many blessings God offers to all who obey and follow Christ, as it is described in 1 Peter verses 1, verses 3 to 5. Here we learn that God has caused us to be born again to a living hope. I've watched a lot of sports over the years, and I've seen teams and players fight back to tie up the score or tie up the series. And at that stage, they must have felt like they had real hope of changing history, right? Maybe this was the year they could be the one to do it. At least that was what they hoped for. Sadly, at the end, some of those games or those series, their hopes were dashed. And you could read it on their faces, right? Hopes shattered. Hope's an interesting word, isn't it? We use it in all sorts of situations. I hope my team will win this week, and especially that's a major hope for Calgary fans. They say that every week. I'm an Oilers fan, so that's where that little bit of poke comes from. I hope the light is green, or I'm going to be late. We even use the phrase hope against hope, which usually means it's a hopeless situation. The percentage of people buying lottery tickets have gone up recently because of people having no hope in the midst of our circumstances. Their hope is wishful thinking. There's no assurance that they will win. Come with me into 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 6, and follow along. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So the question today is there hope for us? There is a living hope for anyone. This living hope is a major theme of Peter's first letter. Here in our passage today, we find the phrase living hope. Let's look at the passage and see what Peter is sharing with us. We first see that there is a living hope. Peter begins the main body of this letter in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God has caused us to be born again to a living hope. The new birth results in a living hope. This living hope is based on the living resurrection. Living resurrected Christ. Right? The living Christ is that source of a new birth and living hope. And we just came out of Easter Sunday celebrating that. So what is this living hope? What is the hope we now have or can have that only the resurrection of Jesus Christ can give us? A living hope is a hope that never dies. There is that desire to find the fountain of youth and never grow up. I know I kind of have that desire as I've seen my body age, right? A wishful thinking, right? Well, let me share with you that, well, there is. This hope is like living water flowing, which never runs dry. Such hope springs from the very God himself. Christians' hope in Christ is as certain and sure as the fact that Christ is alive. Here, living means that a believer's hope is secure, it's certain, and it's real, as opposed to the deceptive, empty, false hope the world offers. What does this mean to us right now in the midst of feeling like that there is no hope? It means that there is living hope. Anyone can have this living hope. And if you're a believer who has this living hope, you have assurance because Jesus is alive. This living hope is based on the solid evidence of Jesus' resurrection. Everyone would buy a lottery ticket if they knew that they would win. The Bible tells us that over 500 people witnessed the resurrection of Christ, including the disciples and Paul himself. There's always been the promise that there is no hope, especially now. Pardon me. There's always been the premise that there is no hope, especially now. Well, I'm here to tell you that there is. Those who have this new birth have a living hope through the new life in Christ, through a new life in Christ. This constantly living hope is that death is not the end. A man had a checkup and he was going back to the doctor to get the results. And the doctor says to him, okay, I have bad news and I have worse news. What would you like first? Well, the man chose to take the bad news first. Well, the doctor then goes to communicate with him that he only has 24 hours to live. Well, he begins to freak out and just go rampant. He's like, I do not have enough time to get my affairs in order within 24 hours. He says, there's no worse news than this. What could be worse? Well, the doctor then proceeds to tell him that he was supposed to tell him yesterday, but he had forgotten. The good news is that there is good news. And we are hearing it right now. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we have a certain hope that even if we die, one day we will live again. Why? Because there is a living hope. Not only is there a living hope, but Peter now tells us that there is a future hope. Let me ask you this question. Why do so many people desire to come and live in Canada or the U.S.? It's the hope of a better life and a better tomorrow, a better future. This living hope includes the promise of a better tomorrow. In verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You've probably heard the saying, I hope this will last forever. And maybe you have even said that very phrase. What if someone could promise you it would last forever? Would you take it? They told you that kiss would last forever, or that moment. See, there is a promise, not only of living again, but also a better tomorrow. An inheritance to be received. We have the hope of a future inheritance. Here's another certainty. We will die, and we will again have a better inheritance. The heavenly inheritance is better than any and everything that this world could have to offer. This inheritance is imperishable, uncorrupt, unfading, and kept in heaven for those who believe. It is kept in heaven for those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. As a child, I've read books and seen movies of orphans who go from rags to riches. In the classic novel, Little Lord Fauntleroy, a young boy living in deep poverty with his mother in America, learns that his father was a member of British noble family. The boy's grandfather sends for him, and the boy soon finds himself living in a fine estate in England. He's also the heir to the estate, which includes the title of Lord. This boy's story is our story as believers. Through Jesus Christ, we have gone from having nothing to having everything. New life, new hope, and an eternal inheritance in heaven that nothing can destroy. People who have an inheritance are called heirs. But being an heir only has value if the person leaving the inheritance has something of value to give. We're so blessed because the Bible says we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ in Romans 8:17. This means that all that God has is ours. Heaven itself is part of that inheritance. Our future home, where all that is wrong on earth will be set right and we will enjoy God's presence forever. Amen? How did we ever get in on something so good? Because God is so good. Because God loves each and every one of us. Jesus paid the price for our salvation on the cross. And his resurrection guaranteed that someday we will come into our full inheritance in heaven. What does this mean for us? Let me ask this. Would you invest in something that you knew would diminish in value or your earnings would fade away? Here on earth, estates can change in value over time or even lose value. Buildings or other property like my house, right, that are part of an inheritance, right, can become run down if they're not maintained and lose its value. But there's no such problems with this inheritance in heaven. Peter used three distinctive terms to get this point across. The things that God has in store for those who love him will never perish, spoil, or fade. That is, this inheritance cannot be destroyed. It won't decay like an overripe fruit, or it won't fade away like an old shirt that's been washed so many times it's in my drawer. Even though life often includes difficult trials, like we are facing right now, the outcome is assured in Christ. The Parade magazine carried the story of a self-made millionaire, Eugene Land, which greatly changed his life, and he greatly changed a class of sixth graders in East Harlem. Mr. Land had been asked to speak to a class of 59 sixth graders. And he thought to himself, he says, what can I say to make a difference in the lives of these students? Most of them who are going to drop out of school. Most of them are kids from broken homes, living in the slums. How could they even actually look at me? Well, when he arrived and stood and he looked at the class, at the innocent faces, he scrapped his notes and decided to speak from the heart. He started off by saying, stay in school. Then he began to follow up and telling them that he said, I will help pay the college tuition for every one of you. At that moment, the lives of these students changed forever. For the first time, they had hope. Said one student, I had something to look forward to. Something waiting for me. It was a golden feeling. Nearly 90% of that class went on to graduate from high school. That's the power of hope. What does this mean for us? What does it mean to us? What God offers anyone is more fabulous than anything even a millionaire can offer us. But just like the sixth graders, there's a choice to take. There's a choice to take the offer or not. There's an inheritance being offered. Will you receive it? And if you've accepted it, you have the assurance that there is a future hope. Not only is there a living hope, there is a future hope. And lastly, there is a present hope. We all have confidence in our banks because our money is protected. We purchase insurance on our house and we can be at ease because it's protected. Because there is a living hope, we can place our faith in God's protection. In verse 5, it teaches, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Not only is the inheritance guarded, but heirs who have been born into that inheritance are protected by God's power. It was never the most enjoyable thing that when I was in the military, I'd be assigned guard duty. There, I was supposed to provide protection to my fellow soldiers and the military equipment on base. Well, recently, there has been a lot of thefts taking place around Calgary. Let me ask you this. How much more would people feel at peace and sleep at night if they knew they had a guard outside their house protecting them and the house? God has promised to protect us with his power as we walk in faith. We have a greater hope. What a greater hope could be given to those having the knowledge that God's power guards them from within, to preserve them for an inheritance of salvation that will be completely revealed to them in the last time. Note, we are kept by the power of God. It's not us holding on to him, it's him holding on to us. Hold on to daddy's hand, I would say to my kids as we cross the street, and they would. But if out of forgetfulness or fatigue, or they loosened their grip, it wouldn't matter. Because although they thought they were holding on to my hand, in reality, I was holding on to theirs. I would never let go. So too, we think we're holding on to the Lord's hand, but in reality, he's holding on to us. We are protected by his power, the gift of the Holy Spirit that dwells within. When I was taking my basic training, I experienced being hazed. I was taken to the pit and was told to hold on to a knot at the end of a greased rope. As I was lowered down into the pit, thinking I'd be pulled up after a few minutes, I was a bit terrified to see them tie their end of the rope to the training bar at the top of the pit, leaving me hanging over the edge. Now again, the pit, it was so dark, whenever you couldn't see where the bottom was. I hollered out, but no one came. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that where you're holding on for dear life, right? Your arms are aching so unbelievably, right? My shoulders were on fire, right? And finally, after about 25 minutes of torture, I decided to let go. And I was thinking that I was going to break my ankle when I fell, right? I only fell about a foot. Have you ever experienced something like that? You feel like you were hanging on for dear life, right? That you're hanging on right now for dear life with no hope of getting out of the mess. Isn't that just like us, right? We holler, "Where are you, God?" in the midst of our situation, my situation. "I don't know if I'm going to make it out." We fret, we scream until we finally decide to let go. And guess what? What do we find? We discover that our solid rock, Jesus Christ, was there all along. What does it mean to us? Well, think about it with this illustration. A trainee was asked to run into a burning building and rescue a dummy, and he refused. His instructor asked why he wouldn't enter the building. He said, "Why would I enter into a building when there was no hope of me getting out? I would only enter in if I had the protective gear to protect him." We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our hope and our shield. In Psalm 33:20. Shield means protector. Our hope in God is a shield of life. Not only a shield in eternal life, but in the present life. He's our help when we need it, our shield when we need protecting. God alone is our help and our shield. What this means is, will you reach out and accept this protection, or will you continue to try and figure it out for yourselves? The passage reminds us that we are protected by God's power through faith. Notice that there are two things that work together to protect us: God's power and our faith. We are protected by the same awesome power that spoke the universe into existence if we have faith. This leaves us again with a choice. There is hope in the present, but are we willing by faith to believe and trust in the power of God? In conclusion, Peter encouraged us to trust in Jesus because there is hope in knowing and believing that there is a living hope. There is a future. There is a present hope. In the midst of our circumstances, Peter's telling us to keep or put our hope in God's ultimate purpose of deliverance and their heavenly reward. To those who are feeling discouraged, displaced, worried, or fearful, Paul addresses the issues by saying, we have a living hope based upon the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior. A living hope means that the believer's hope is sure, certain, and real, as opposed to what the world offers, wishful thinking or empty or false hope. No guarantee. The living Christ is the source of a new birth and a living hope. You might be asking, how can I obtain this living hope? You must be born again by entrusting yourself and committing yourself to the truth of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Do you have this hope? If not, would you like to have it? God offers you a hope that you can have and maintain by faith. He's done all the impossible part so that all of us, you and me, right? All we must do is surrender our lives to Him. If you'd like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to have you reach out to me, giving me a phone call or an email, and you can get that information off of our website. I'd love to meet with you or speak with you. But ending off those two words, there is. There is a what? A living hope. There is a future hope, and there is a present hope. Let's pray. God, I thank you this morning for your blessings, for your word, and the encouragement that it leaves us with us, the support, the promises that we have through the work of Jesus Christ. God, in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst, Father, of us having worry or concern of what the future holds, let us know that we have hope in you. We can have hope in you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.